Edmonton Radio. Joining me now is Mr. Warren Davies. He's one of Australia's leading mental health experts and speakers with 7 years' experience speaking in communities across the country. Very pleased to say he joins us now to share his expertise with us. Warren, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Jenny. How are you?
Look, I'm very well, thank you. My goodness, your story is a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit of an interesting one. From dairy farmer to professional speaker, mental health advocate is quite a journey.
Well, I think if you live it, you need to share if you've come out the other side, don't you?
Yeah, well, that's correct. I'm a real big believer in the power of any community is in the shared wisdom. And you know, if you've got a story to share, you just don't know, you might be holding that little piece of wisdom that might help the person sitting next to you or in your community be able to move forward on their own journey.
Yeah, you're right, Warren. I mean, we all know that men are fairly reticent to come forward and say, look, I'm not feeling happy about this and time's tough. And you don't talk about that with your mates much, men, that is. Women do. We do, honestly. It's therapy when we all get together. But, Warren, what was your story before you took, you know, this path of becoming a storyteller as such?
Yeah, look, I was a dairy farmer from the day I left school, and I chose dairy farming as a career path. And I was actually prior to that born and bred in Melbourne, and wasn't a country boy at all. I was a city boy, and at the age of 15 we moved to the country, and that was, you know, a big change for me. I'd been dealing with a number of things growing up, like mum and dad were small business owners, and a couple of things that I learnt through the speaker course that I did by unpacking my story and trying to find the value in it is that there was a couple of things, and one that I realised and that I'd probably been struggling with my mental health for a long time, and actually from a really young age. And the other thing that I realised that I'd had no real connection to a community because we were always moving around, and that was a big challenge. Something that I didn't realise the effect that it had on me, and why community is so important to me. And so once I become a dairy farmer, the impacts of being a dairy farmer and the curveballs that Mother Nature threw me along that journey then triggered what I now call my mental health journey.
Goodness me. It's interesting, at the time you don't realise it, I get, is what I'm getting from you.
Yeah, and that's probably an underlying theme to my story is early on not acknowledging it and not understanding what was going on, but then also later on not doing anything about it. You know, when I knew that I was struggling, just trying to be that resilient person and just try and bounce back from, you know, setbacks that I might have been going through, whether that was through my business or through my mental health. Yeah. And then that just adds to the spiral at the end of the day.
When you're a young man, like you mentioned, it started fairly early for you. Do you have any idea what create? You mentioned you had a lack of community because you were moving around a lot, and for a young person, that is difficult, I guess. But was there anything else that sort of you feel triggered these mental health issues in you, and your parents didn't pick it up?
So the one thing I realised that I was struggling with anxiety and low self-esteem, and a lot of that came from that moving around. And I can remember clearly one day I was in grade 3 starting at a new primary school, and the teacher called me out the front to do a mathematical sum on the blackboard. So I'm showing my age with a real blackboard and real chalk.
I remember that.
Yeah, and look, I'm self-professed. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, and maths wasn't one of my subjects. And I can still feel every time I share this story, the hair stand up on the back of my neck. You know, the laughter and all that. And I think that was, you know, just part of that journey, and not dealing with it at that time, or not reaching out and seeking help. It just manifests as you go along.
But as a young bloke, you're not to know to seek out for help. You know, to reach out for help. I mean, to go to your dad and said, "I'm really feeling sad," and quite often, not saying your dad would say anything, but they often say, "Oh, come on, mate, get over it." And this is the whole thing with young men, the image that they feel they have to live up to.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I now advocate is, you know, it's not a sign of weakness to stick your hand up and you know, say that you're struggling, and seeking help is really important. And, you know, even though I get up in front of people and share my story and offer some advice and strategies to put in place, that by no means means that I implemented those strategies when I was at that age. And I know it is tough, but it's really important that we do, you know, seek some, you know, support from someone if you are struggling with your mental health, yeah. You know, whether that's family, friends, or just a wider support network.
Yeah, boys can cry, that's for sure. They have to be told that it's perfectly normal to feel that way. Can I pick up then when you became a dairy farmer? What was the problem there? I know you're saying your mental health issues may have contributed, but you mentioned that you sort of lost everything. What happened?
Yeah, so along the way, I'd worked on a farm for 6 years and then ventured out onto my own farm with my parents, and you know, Mother Nature come along. She was my silent business partner, and she come along and firstly sent me a flood. The flood that triggered what I now call my mental health journey. So all that childhood stuff all got triggered by that stressful event. Then we had a family bust up on the farm with my parents and I, which my value, number one value in the world is family. And so the breakdown of that family unit really had an impact on me. And then once we recovered from that, and then my wife and I set out on our own journey on that farm just as by ourselves. Then a couple of years down the track, the Mother Nature come again and sent a drought. And all this time I was dealing with mental health, with a mental illness like depression and anxiety, but I wasn't taking the steps to be able to get on top of that. I was more focused on my business and keeping the farm running and not on my own well-being.
But obviously it did take over, didn't it? Because for you to get to the point you are now and for you to eventually get help, I'm assuming?
Yeah, look, I hit rock bottom and it was a very dark place to be in, and that dark place was the start of my, you know, recovery. You know, life had given me two choices, and it was either I continued to spiral out of control or I got better, and I promised myself that I needed to get better, and that journey is, you know, still ongoing, and it's an ongoing process, and I'm always learning more about myself and about, you know, the challenges that I, you know, face with, you know, with my mental health. And one of the things that helps me along the way is actually being a speaker and sharing my story, and it's a real cathartic experience.
Oh, it would have to be, to know that you've come through. Can I ask you what you're at, apart from speaking, Warren, what is your life today? It's ongoing, you said, the treatment, yeah.
Yeah, it looks so like you know, I'm still on antidepressants and I've got lots of strategies that I now put in place. Like, and I talk a lot about that in my talks about filling your toolbox with strategies that might help you negate, you know, when you're not feeling the best or your mental health's declining. And I've got strategies that I now use that probably didn't have back then, that I've got now, that I'm, you know, in different situations I'm able to pull out of my toolbox and help me, you know, get through that patch.
Can you share a couple of those tools with us?
Yeah, I can. So one of the things that I do, like on a daily basis, is I take either sunrise or sunset photos. It seems really strange.
No, that's great.
It's a real mindfulness strategy for me. So I can have had a real, you know, tough day or a challenging day or something hasn't gone right or whatever it is, and I can go for a walk. And just with my phone, we go for a walk and I'll stop. I'll take a photo of the sunset. It might take 2 seconds. It might take 5 minutes. But just that time just is something to focus on outside my body, outside my head.
Yeah.
And that's what quietens things down.
Yeah.
Another thing that I do is a thing which I now call my unbreakable wheel of well-being, where I rate myself on my well-being domains, which make up a spokes in my wheel. And I rate myself 1 to 5 on how they're going. So, you know, social, emotional, intellectual, relationships, community, all these things make up, you know, financial position and all that sort of stuff all make up the spokes of these wheels. And one means you're not doing too well, five means excellent. And then if you draw a rim of a wheel with a hub and then you start drawing these spokes, all of a sudden you see all your spokes aren't even. And I start focusing on the areas that I need to focus on to try and balance my wheel so it doesn't start to wobble and fall off.
That's great. I mean, the normal person, I don't think, that hasn't been through something like you have would not think about that. That was guidance, was it, from the help that you were getting to do that?
Yeah, it's just something like I've done a lot of reading and I really didn't. I've been talking about that concept for a long time, and I never realised the importance of that concept until I had the opportunity to speak in the remand centre in Melbourne, and I spoke to a group of prisoners, and one of the guys come up to me afterwards and he said, look, I've looked at that. I've thought about that in my head, and I've rated myself 1 to 5 on all my domains. And he goes, well, physically he was a 5, which he was. He was a fine specimen of a man. He looked like he'd been in the gym a fair bit. But he said, socially, emotionally, I'm not even a 1. And he said, actually, my wheel looks like a triangle and I can't move forward and I can't move back, so I'm stuck. So I need to do something to try and balance that wheel up so I can get rolling again. So that really brought home the importance of doing that exercise on a, you know, daily or a weekly or a monthly basis.
That's judging where you are at the time, but I'm wondering if you see the weakness in you're a 1 in a social setting. How then do you break that? You become more aware of that problem. How then do you break that down to be able to get out there and be social?
Yeah, well, I think that then it just requires a little bit more work, and there's a little bit more to that exercise. It's then trying, well, what does social look like to you, and then and what do I need to do to be more social or to be more financial or, you know, or whatever it is, or if it's a vocational thing, or if your job's dragging you down, or what is your dream job, or, you know, what's your perfect job look like to you, and what steps do I need to take? And, you know, it's like everything. It's not all going to happen at once, but there's little steps towards that goal and trying to create that balanced wheel.
I'm a firm believer in that when people don't have enough confidence in themselves in reaching what they would like to be or be involved in, is where you are at the time, set your goal and that's what you'd like to be, and work out how to get to that point. And like you were saying, so is there a website or anything or books or anything that people can get a bit of help from, do you think?
There's lots and lots of resources out there that, you know, that you can glean information from, and I actually right at this stage I'm getting my website updated, and a lot of those resources that I've used and ones that, you know, that other people have used and recommended to me will be on my web page on a resource page. But you know, you just have to Google those areas of interest, and you'll soon find heaps of information on the web that can help you. But there's so many. I couldn't rattle off all the books that I've read and the information, but a lot of that will be compiled on my website at just shortly down the track.
Give us your website address, will you?
Yeah, so it's www.theunbreakablefarmer.com.au.
Oh, that's fantastic. What a great title to give yourself as well. Can I just ask...
Go on.
I'm just wondering, when people hear you speak, you got a reaction from a prisoner, like you just talked about, but what about the general public? They're there to hear you because they're going through that situation, do you think? Or they've got a family member that might be going through it. What do they say to you afterward?
Look, I get lots of good feedback after my talks. Generally, if it's not on the night or on the day of the event, it's generally a few days later where people will reach out to me, and, you know, they have either been able to use something that I've said, or, you know, one of the strategies that I've described to either help themselves or help someone, you know, that they love. That's you know, that makes me truly grateful when someone says that to me. But a lot of people, you know, I'm not in the communities that I get to talk to, particularly in rural communities, you know, they've been through a lot of the things I'm talking about. So my story's not unique to them, but it's probably giving them the hope that, you know, you can get through it, and you've just got to, you know, work through the process and make sure that you're seeking the help that you require.
Yeah, certainly reach out, because obviously we do hear, you know, everywhere really, the suicide rate is just terrible. Well, where people try to deal with it for themselves, that's for sure. So, you know, here in the cities, Lifeline 131114. It's wonderful, the thing that what you're doing, Warren. It's absolutely fabulous. And just finally, we haven't got much time left, but homelessness doesn't always happen in the big smoke. That is for sure, right?
No, that's right, and that's one of the things that has been coming fairly, commonplace in some of the discussions that I'm having, particularly around areas where, you know, been impacted by natural disasters, and you know, COVID has played a big part in, you know, pushing up rental prices and lack of affordable housing, and that's having a major impact on the mental health of people, particularly like in the city as well as outside in rural communities, because, you know, it used to be a problem of people that, you know, pigeonholed into a low socioeconomic kind of situation, where now it's an everyday everybody problem, and I think we need to come together as communities to try and help solve some of these issues that are impacting the mental health of our rural and city communities.
And talking to younger people, just seeing if they're just okay, if they're getting through. You know, you're absolutely right, Warren. We wish you all the best. And the website, it's up and running, but you're going to update it, are you, very soon?
Yeah, it's updating. There's a bit of work going on in the background right at the moment, but okay. Yeah, the website's still there, but you can jump on that website now.
Okay, the www.theunbreakablefarmer.com.au, simple as that.
Yeah, correct. Thank you.
Wonderful, great to speak to you. Thank you so much. You always get in touch with us if you need to, Warren. Thank you.
No worries, Jenny. Thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure. Bye-bye. Warren Davies, farmer and mental health expert.